Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Good morning. Good morning. Right back at it on The Fan in New York, just like that. It's January 14th. Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on your New Year's resolution. I think it takes 17 days to form a habit. See it through to Friday. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. You guessed it, talking sports, specifically the NFL. I'm the first one that gets to speak as all of the wildcard games conclude. Finished. The divisional round is set. And if you missed anything, as people are dialing 888-808-1019 and Paul is passing the rock to Fleegs, we got Fleegs back. I'm like, damn, I ain't seen Fleegs since Christmas, since before Christmas. I thought Fleegs got transferred or something. Sent him to WIP. Or what's the station down in Miami? Fleegs was down in Miami watching Penn State. If you missed it, the Rams defeat the Vikings tonight, 27-9. It was never a game. If you missed it last night, game of the weekend. The Commanders defeat the Buccaneers 23-20 with a doinkin' win. Jaden Daniels, they're calling him the best rookie quarterback ever. Wow. The Eagles and their Dirty Bird fans survive. The Packers are terrible. And if you're a Dallas fan, you think about the Packers last year in the 2-7 matchup going to Jerry World and beating the boys. Eagles held them off. Saquon Barkley, 25 carries, 119 yards. Could have had a buck 50 if he kept running. Could have had a tud, smoked my parlay, and did it with a smile talking about dub. Just wanted everyone to get out safely. Didn't want anyone to get hurt. You know, just securing a win. Bro, please, are you kidding me, bro? Are you kidding me? Everybody in the world had a Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown bet. Instead, you got Dallas Goedert getting in the end zone, whatever. The Buffalo Bills, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. I cannot wait for the MVP battle head-to-head. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills escape Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Troy Franklin on that deep ball for the first punch of the game had some people sweating. And then even the Broncos with a chance to tie it at half couldn't get it done. And you just knew Buffalo was going to roll and Buffalo was going to pile it on. James Cook having a great year. Not enough people talk about the year that kid's had. 23 carries, 120 yards, and a tud. The Ravens Steelers, I don't know who told you that the Steelers had any chance at beating the Ravens. I know for a fact I got on WFAN Friday and said, forget about the past history. Forget about what the record tells you about Mike Tomlin in these situations or division rivals in these situations. The Steelers were on a four-game losing streak. The Steelers had no offense. They had no chance. And the Ravens, speaking of offense, holy smokes. If those guys stay healthy, like how do they get stopped? Lamar Jackson goes out there. Let's just talk about running the ball. 15 carries, 81 yards on the ground. There was one series where he ran the ball like four or five plays in a row. They just kept letting him run it. And Derrick Henry, that man has a family. He stiff-armed Mika Fitzpatrick all the way back to St. Peter's Prep. 26 carries, 186 yards, and he looks fast. Two tuds. Lamar Jackson, 16 of 21, 175 yards through the air without his Pro Bowl receiver. Two touchdowns. He still got guys like Rashad Bateman. Yeah, the Ravens look good, man. Let's see if they fold. They always choke. Let's see if they fold against the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. That's the game. That's the game you're going to want to watch. And then, yeah, Harbaugh, Chargers. It's time to have that conversation about Justin Herbert. People list this guy as a top five quarterback in the league. People talk about him as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I guess just by stature and looks, he had a good regular season, but man, you can't throw four interceptions in the playoffs. I guess you can when you move the team from San Diego to LA and nobody cares about you. 888-808-1019. Let's get into the conversation around the games, the bogus officiating, watching at home, parlays, what you thought about the gambling on the game and guys scoring touchdowns and guys not hitting their props. Steve is in New Jersey. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Steve?
All right, so three things. You know, I'm not a Viking fan or a Rams fan. I'm actually a Broncos fan who played a good half. But if you look at this game tonight, at 11:41 with that bogus face mask, which it was actually really a face mask, after the penalty, the clock ran from 11:41 on. And then at 10:31, there's another flag.
When Kyren Williams
the clock
got
ran
face
again.
Mask, right?
Right, the clock ran again at 10:31.
Yeah, I was driving.
And then there was another penalty at 10:12, and the clock ran.
It's bogus. So if you're sitting at home and you're looking at the clock and you're looking at these things happen, you're like, hey, is anybody seeing this? What's going on? They're just trying to get everybody out of Arizona. Nobody wanted to be there anyway.
Are the Vikings blind, though?
I don't know.
Coaching staff?
I mean, Kevin O'Connell was chapped. He was trying to yell and do something. There's nothing he could do.
Oh, my goodness. And at 10:12, there's another flag that the clock kept running. How do these people miss that? Like, I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm actually a Broncos fan. Yeah, but, you know, this
if
is
I'm
just
a Vikings
terrible.
Fan, like, I know that they're fraudulent and there's nothing they could do. Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, I'm driving in here. I'm listening to Westwood One coverage. I think one of the last plays that I saw before I dipped was the Kyren Williams face mask. So, I didn't catch the clock running, but I'm not surprised. The NFL is bogus. They pull the wool over your eyes, and you just watch it. Now, I know most people aren't catching it, and I know with the millions of numbers that watch the NFL, people aren't locked in like that. They could do that, but there's so many little things that you see in the game like, yo, what the hell? How is that okay? Blatant hold, fumbles not being reviewed correctly, face masks, pass interference. It's every game. These officials, they have the best seat in the house. They don't know what to do. Let's go to Franklin Square. Paul, you're on the Fan. You got it.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Let me tell you the scenario. So I live in Franklin Square. I'm a Giants fan. So, but since the Giants have been so bad, I lived in Thailand, moved back in 2012.
Oh.
Ever since then, I don't think I've gone to two Giant games, at least two Giant games a year, and I think I've seen two Giant wins in the 13, 14 years since I've been back. So what I do is I go down to Baltimore now. I've been down there five times. I'm 5-0 this year. I went down this weekend, so I traveled down, got there a half an hour before the game, went to the game. It wasn't even a contest. It was embarrassing. Then the very next day, I drove, actually after it, I drove to Philly, checked into a hotel,
awesome.
And went to the Eagles game. That was it wasn't a great game, but you know what?
Nah, but it's just cool to pull it off on wild, like it's not too much of a drive, and if you can afford it to go see an AFC game, an NFC game, and those stadiums and environments are way better than MetLife.
Absolutely. It was the first time I was at Lincoln Financial Field. I gotta tell you, you know, I agree with you. I've been there. I was at the Vet back in the day. I'm 48 going on 49. And they were rowdy, the Vet fans. These Lincoln Financial Field fans aren't as rowdy. They were a little nicer. I got to tell you, I was impressed by how, I mean, they're animals in a way. Like, you go to the bathroom and everyone's storming into the bathroom. But they actually, there weren't as many fights as I thought there was.
I was about to say, the police presence along with everyone having a phone that can record you will turn some of that down, but I think it depends on what section you're in. When you go higher up and there's less security and those are cheaper seats, some of those people are just idiots. They get bold. They say things. They do things that are just despicable. And the parking lot, did you tailgate at all? Did you hang out in the parking lot?
I did not. I was in my hotel watching the first game, the Bills game, and I left in an Uber about an hour before the game, got there about a half hour before. so I didn't even bother to tailgate. But I saw it. I witnessed it as I was walking up to the gate. You know, they are animals. You know,
they'll throw eggs at people. They'll harass you as you're walking through if you're in the opposing team uniform.
They definitely did. They were harassing Packer fans, but it wasn't like 20-something years ago when I went when the bet was there where they were spitting on you like,
yeah,
they, you know, now they're just yelling at you.
Nobody could record that. That's an assault charge,
right,
brother. Nobody could record it in the 80s.
You're right. One last thing I'd like to say. Tonight, embarrassing. Sam Darnold and the Vikings, embarrassing. I don't understand how they can just concede defeat and not go after the Rams till the end. How they just basically gave up in the second half and just...
Yeah, it seemed like they weren't ready. I'm like, I didn't know the Rams' defense was this good. They were all over them. 9 sacks? I'm like, well, damn, he can't set his feet and throw. Sam Darnold, you got to get rid of the ball. And Kevin O'Connell, you got to scheme something else up. It was not working right away.
I agree with you. How do you not target Jefferson at least once or twice in the second half? What, did he get one
they
target?
They gave up.
He had no catches.
They gave up. They knew they were cooked.
How do you give up?
Yeah, how do you give up exactly in the playoffs?
How do you give up?
After a year where you won 12 games?
They won 14 games, right?
14 games.
Jesus. Thanks. I appreciate it, man. Appreciate the time. You're doing great. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the story, Paul. Thanks for the correction as well. Who won 12 games? The Commanders won 12 games. I don't know why I was thinking they won 12 games. They had, you know, just last week, they were going head-to-head with the Lions. I mean, they are a forever fraudulent franchise. 2 years ago, they were riding high in a similar way and got knocked off by who? Class, anyone in the back? The New York Giants. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're back on the Fan.
You know, I don't blame KOC for giving up, man, honestly. And what's up, man? I just live a complete freaking joke of a life as a fan of this team, right? You know what? And you want to talk about Addison.
Skull.
Who he's throwing hospital. Skull. Oh, yeah. Skull. Yeah, yikes, dude. The jokes freaking right themselves. Addison, he's throwing hospital balls to Addison. His primary targets are Trent Sherfield and Jalen freaking Naylor, right? And by the way, this is 15 days ago. 15 days ago. One more day than 2 weeks ago where they crowd surfed into the locker room. They were throwing the water bottles all over. They were swag surfing. Yeah, they
many
got that
men,
swag. His hat got
many, 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 many.
2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, that and Alfred Keith, he lost $20 million a pop the last 2 weeks. That he's dead to me. Daquan Tiki, Sam Darnold, you are dead to me. You are dead to me. And hey, and it's not going to be a damn thing, Keith, because I'm tweeting it. You were tweeting it so during the game. You're making jokes about Daniel Jones that you said you're kidding around. But you're not. It ain't no joke because it's going to be Brett freaking Rippin. And next year, maybe it'll be Timmy freaking Boyle. Timmy freaking Boyle and my guy Pat Boyle. He
no,
can go
it's,
on play.
It's hey, JJ. You drafted JJ McCarthy.
Cool game,
you have to believe.
Be 13-2. You
believe
know what?
In JJ.
I am going to believe in JJ when I see him take a freaking field because I remember 6 months ago going in Joey Clark's faces when I thought JJ McCarthy was going to play this year when I saw finally we had a future QB in that preseason game against Oakland when they had JJ on the mic and everybody's cheering and the only critique was the fact that he went full-blown pitcher wind up on a 60-yard dish to lo and behold Trent Sherfield and then 2 days later I find out his knees in smithereens and you know that's going to prolong. You know that's going to be like, or that's going to have a you know side effects throughout his career. But for this year, man, and you're talking about frauds and all that, there's no denying it. But what pisses me off, I better see Jaden Daniels pop off next week because it's flirting versus harassment. That dress looks sexy on you, that picture. You know what I'm talking about? You got two different points of view, and us and the Lions, I swear to God, if there's a Lombardi trophy at Ford Field before all the pain and misery, you don't freaking know what misery is if you're a Lions fan, man. You know what misery is. You don't know what suffering is. You don't have Brett Favre throw that pick with, 10 seconds left. You got the freaking bounty game. You don't have Gary Anderson making every goddamn kick in front of him. And a 15-2 seed, you got Morton Anderson matching him the whole year. And they that was their Super Bowl, although I don't know knowing this freaking team. And then the Minneapolis Miracle. I mean, for Christ's sake, that's like the one good thing we've had in the last 10 years. And, Keith, you know what gets lost in that? They were up 17 freaking nothing in that game. You shouldn't have made a Hail Mary and with 3 seconds left to win that freaking game. Keith, I'm sick of it. I swear to God, I know he's your guy, but if we bring in Kenny Pickett, if we bring in Mitch Trubisky and run it back with KOC, who I love, but it feels like he feels like he's too good of a coach at this point, that we're going to bring in some bum. It's going to be the same cycle again, and we'll get our teeth kicked in by freaking Raheem Morris or somebody. It's going to be the same old freaking joke.
Thanks for the call, Ross. I like to drink other fan bases' tears a little bit. You know, when I was 5, I chose my team before I could even point to where they actually were on the map. And if you've listened to me, you know who I root for. And they've suffered a similar fate, one and done, fraudulent, good regular season. Hold up. We them boys. And then embarrassment. And you can list them from Romo fumbling the snap to Jared Cook being open. Oh, Dez caught it. That anniversary just passed, 10 years. Jared Cook being open on the sideline. Remember Ezekiel Elliott? Snapped the ball. Remember last year, I just mentioned the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, so the Vikings being fraudulent, I can get a little bit of joy out of. You'll get a little bit of that from Gio in about 7 hours on the Fan. 888-808-1019. But I think Gio knows. As a Vikings fan, he knew. And it's funny. These Vikings fans, these Minnesotans, they are getting New York's old vibes. Former Jet Sam Darnold. Former Nick Julius Randle. I put a meme out today. And these AI sports-generated pictures are incredible. Someone said Sam Darnold with the ball in his hands, and it's a picture of Julius Randle in Sam Darnold's uniform. And it looks just like him. And it's like HD. And I said, yeah, Minnesota getting the New York vibes. Minnesota fans got to deal with a former Nick, former Jet, and it ain't working. 888-808-1019. It's pain. I you know, every year when the NFL kicks off, right, we thirst for it. And I say that after week one. I say it's pain. We love the NFL. The NFL is king. It is pain. You know it's not pain? You know, like my last caller before, Ross, being detached. I'm a Giants fan, but I don't even go over there. I'll get in the car. I'll drive down to Baltimore. M&T Bank, what is it? M&T Bank Stadium. That place is amazing. You got Ray Lewis coming out doing the dance, firework. It's all lit up. One thing that I don't like, Ravens fans in Baltimore that might be listening to the Fan in New York, I feel like you didn't always do the R-A-V-E-N-S. Ravens, stop that. Please stop that. We know that came from Philly. But shout out to the last caller before Ross, who decided I'm going to go to see the Ravens on Saturday night and then drive to Philly and see the Eagles. And that, like, playoff football. And you know what? The get-in prices were affordable. They're around $100. You want to spend $200? You got a good seat. I think that Ravens game, the morning of, people were shocked at what the get-in price was. I think the Eagles game was a little bit more expensive because it's Philly. It's the Eagles. But that's tough, man. That's tough. I'd rather just not be in. I'm good. I knew the Cowboys weren't winning. People were talking about the Cowboys winning 10 games this year. I knew the Cowboys weren't winning no 10 games. They lost 5 games in a row. I'm like, I don't got to worry about the playoffs this year. Oh, Dak is hurt. Don't got to worry about that. Now, what do I have to worry about? Jerry Jones firing Mike McCarthy and potentially hiring Deion Sanders, who I don't know. I don't know how you get that. The math is not mathing. But for you Jets fans, you also don't want Mike McCarthy. I heard a lot of conversation about Mike McCarthy as well as Mike Tomlin. Mike and Mike aren't coming to New York. Shout out to Golic and Greenberg. There will be no Mike and Mike. Mike McCarthy, Jets, no. There's no reuniting him with Aaron Rodgers. You shouldn't want that. And then Mike Tomlin, the Rooneys aren't going to move on from him. Pittsburgh's not going to move on from him for two reasons. One, they like that they can say, we keep the same coaches. They like that we can say, we are consistent here. You know. They've had like 3 coaches over there. And also, they haven't had a quarterback. They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Big Ben. And so they won't hold it against Mike Tomlin this season that he had Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Both of those guys might be gone. 888-808-1019. I think Mike Tomlin's safe. I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think Mike McCarthy is going to get some interest maybe from the Saints as well as the Chicago Bears. I don't think he's the right guy for the Jets. I don't think he's the right guy for the Jets. But I don't know who the right guy for the Jets is anymore. Like I joked about, they're interviewing everybody. Talk about casting a wide net. If you want to make the wrong decision in life, this is what I used to tell people, and I forget who told me this. If you're thinking about work, if you're thinking about a life choice, a career change, buying a house, I don't know, buying a car, having a kid, proposing, if you want to make the wrong decision, ask everybody. Get 20 different opinions on it, and you're not going to know what to do. Trust your gut. Go with your instincts. I don't know. That's another thing. You think Mike Tomlin wants to come here and work for Woody Johnson after being under the Rooney family? He doesn't. Not at all. Not at all. 888-808-1019. Josh in Passaic on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. How you doing? How's the weekend?
It was good, man. I did enjoy kicking back. Made some nachos, made some pizza, had some brews, had a margarita mix, enjoyed the wild card weekend as far as like relaxing, watching the games. I just think some of the games could have been better. And the money that I won, I gave all back yesterday.
Yeah, there's definitely been years of better games. We had pretty much one good game. The Chargers game was, was a little close, till the end. And that was very surprising. Herbert threw more picks that game than he did the entire season. And that Broncos Bills game, kind of like an experience, boxer, not a real game, but two people decide to have like a little like match or something. One guy will let the other guy take the first punch, mm-hmm. and then put his guard a little down, and the other guy will come back with four punches. That's exactly what that Broncos game was.
Yeah, I knew that. It was a good first punch. When they didn't tie it up with the field goal, I'm like, all right, they're not gonna survive this second half.
And the Bills, they just came full force. That running game is great. James Cook is a great player. And the game tonight, Keith, if it wasn't, Ken O'Donnell and I was the owner, I'd fight whoever the coach was right there. How do you give up in a game like that? It's a playoff game. There's 8-9 minutes left, and they're just relaxing, snapping the ball. It's 5 seconds left on the play clock. They're still trying to run the ball the entire second half, and it's clearly not working. And I don't even know what you want to give up.
Kevin O'Connell,
you don't see that in the playoffs.
He used to work under Sean McVay. Like they were talking about that, maybe he just said uncle, man. Sometimes you just know when a guy's got you and you got nothing for it, and you just get everybody out safely.
At the end, you want to, how do you think the players feel, on the team or even the fans or the coaches, when, the guy in front of them, the guy just won't snap the ball and they're just waiting, and those that whole holding penalty thing, it does not make sense. Because why wouldn't a team now, if they're up by two possessions and they got the ball with 8 minutes left, just keep on holding the opposing players after a run? If a clock's just going to keep on ticking down, they got to work on whatever that is. Because that could be potentially a bit of a strategy if you don't need to score, but just want to knock down a few minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they would put the seconds back on the clock. No, it's bogus, Keith. We keep on watching these things, and that's what it is. And on the Mets, Keith, Alonzo wants that deal. I don't know why they don't just hand it to him, but we'll keep it on the football to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
On the Mets, thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019. Yeah, did Pete Alonzo sign yet? I'm hoping he signs this week while I'm on. I've got these early shows all week with the Brooklyn Nets going out west. How about the Brooklyn Nets, huh? How about Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons talking about going out there and competing despite what the front office is thinking. I can't stand Ben Simmons. One of the biggest reasons I'm off the Nets, I don't do the Nets podcast anymore, I haven't been to one Brooklyn Nets game, is just the existence of Ben Simmons. I never wanted him on the team. I always tell the story of being in my car downstairs and listening to Carton and Roberts downstairs in the car. And as soon as that report came out from Shams about James Harden wanting out and wanting to go to Philly and the Nets possibly entertaining a trade for Ben Simmons? No, no, no. And Craig was like, where's Keith at? I'm like, let me go upstairs. And I come upstairs and I sit in here with Craig and Evan and I'm like, no, you can't have Ben Simmons here. First year he comes here, KD and Kyrie want him to be available for that playoff run where they end up getting swept by Boston. He's not available. Fast forward all these years, now he wants to compete. Now he's talking like, please. After he ate $100 million and was in street clothes, it's just, they're a mess, dude. And but like they're not a mess in the way where like I understand what's going on. Tank. Trevante Tank Davis, Tank Dell, Tank Bigsby, Tank. They're trying to get Cooper Flagg. Like they're trying to get a top pick. May 12th. Hello. We're 4 months away from that lottery ball bouncing, and maybe the Brooklyn Nets have the number one pick, then I'll be right back on. But, man, they're a disappointment. Ben Simmons is, like, the, like, main reason why I'm like, I can't even stand the sight of Ben Simmons on this team. Should have never been on this team. 888-808-1019. He should have stayed in Philly. But only one team was dumb enough to have him. The book that all the Philadelphia Phillies fans or Philadelphia Eagles fans are buying is called Inner Excellence. A.J. Brown was seen reading this on the sideline last night. And then his quarterback got on the podium and said, yeah, I've never seen him read. So that was all for the cameras. That was all an act. Even though he showed the book and he had it, you know, with some highlighted sentences and some underlined sentences, like he'd been doing some work. But man, his boy, right, his homie, those guys were friends in high school, college, now the pros. I don't know if they're friends anymore. Turmoil, trouble in Philly. Hope it leads to the Rams knocking them off. That's what we'll do for a second here before we go to break at 888-808-1019 to get the next calls up. I've cleared my calls. The divisional round. The divisional round is going to be better than the wild card round. It usually always is. At 4:30 p.m. on ESPN and ABC, Disney family of networks, you'll get the 10-7 Houston Texans winner of the AFC South against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Oh, great. Congrats to Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes on the birth of their third child, Golden. Their kids are named Sterling, Bronze, and Golden Mahomes. Yeah, another cakewalk to the AFC Championship for Patrick Mahomes. He's played in the AFC Championship every year he's been a starter. I don't think they lose to the Texans. No way. At 8 p.m. on Saturday, January 18th, you'll get the Commies, Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, and the Commanders going up to Ford Field to face Detroit. The Lions, they're rested. This is a team that's had a ton of injuries, need to get healthy. This is a team that they know this is their year. They're the number one seed. They couldn't get it done last year. They're a win away from going back to the NFC Championship and hosting it. And not having to go, you know, on the road like they had to go to Santa Clara. Terrible second half. Speaking of Santa Clara, did you guys see Fred Warner on ESPN with the ESPN football guys talking about Brock Purdy and how Brock Purdy's going to sign a big deal and he's going to be the 49ers quarterback for a long time. He's going to have multiple rings and how he's glad to have him as his quarterback and how Brock Purdy was running the scout team when he came in as a rookie and he's talking trash and lighting them up with no-look passes. I was like, I didn't know little high school musical quarterback was like that, but good. Good for him. Sunday, January 19th at 3 p.m., the Los Angeles Rams will face the Philadelphia Eagles. I need the Rams. I'm putting on like Puka, Kyren Williams. Hopefully Tyler Higbee's ready to go because he was eaten early in that game. I need them to go in there and score points. If they go in there and score points, Jared Verse, that defense, they look like they're ready to go. All they got to do is tackle Saquon. Now, if you remember, and I always remember this because I called this, Tommy DeVito started for the Giants against the Bucs, and you just knew the Bucs were going to blow him out. And I got on air. I'm like, the Bucs are going to blow out the Giants, and what's going to make it worse is that night on Sunday Night Football, you're going to have to watch Saquon run all over the Rams. Saquon went out there that night. He had over 250 yards, right? He had 300 total yards. They're not going to let that happen twice. 888-808-1019. I can't wait to see that game in Philly. And then the last game, Sunday night, January 19th, 6:30, the MVP head-to-head battle. Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, and you would save the best for last. That's going to be a good one. All right, let's take this break here. Dial up the number. Give me your thoughts, your calls, your topics, your takes on the NFL Wild Card Weekend. And we'll also get into more of the conversation around the coaches and the coaching carousel when we come back from this next break. Keith McPherson on The Fan. BRB.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yo, 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 yo. I'm back. No Diddy, let's get it. 888-808-1019. Talking football on The Fan. What else? You guys want to talk Pete Alonso, Yankees third base? I mean, like, it's tired, bro. It'll happen or it won't happen. We'll get there. Spring training is less than a month away. But, you know, as I was watching the game tonight, I made a mistake. I didn't even think to turn to the last Manning cast of the season. And, man, I got a ton of respect for the Mannings. I got to get in touch with them somehow. They're marketing guys, they're agents, they're managers, they're everywhere. Now they're doing, like, they took the kick of destiny from Gronk, and now they're doing the kick of destiny, right? You seen the commercial where they were like, oh, Eli, you're going to have to play quarterback like me and dad, and Eli wants to be a kicker. And, well, yeah, now, you know, I already placed my bet in FanDuel on Eli to win it. And the Super Bowl is down there in New Orleans where Archie played, so you just know that they're going to be involved. They're everywhere. So I wish I actually tuned in to the Manning cast. If you watched any of that, call me up and tell me what you got from it. Were they killing Sam Darnold? I bet they were seeing some things and some reasons why Sam Darnold was under pressure and not able to make some throws. They always have great insight as former quarterbacks. But you know what? I really got to go online next break and look for Bill Belichick's appearance. Bill Belichick was making appearances all year. If you remember, he made that appearance, and he talked about Woody Johnson being ready, aim, fire. He also talked about the Giants and laughed off the fact that they didn't pay Saquon and they used that money to get a guard. Bill Belichick's one of a kind. Bill Belichick should be in line to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but no. On my screen right now, they have Ryan Clark talking about Jerry Jones spoke with Deion Sanders about the Cowboys' job. No. No, this is all wrong. I just was watching Deion Sanders meet with his team yesterday in Colorado, talking about how this is an emotional time for him and how, you know, he's not coaching his sons anymore and how he had great players on that team and he doesn't want to have great players. He wants to have a good team. Shefty put out there, he says, to hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful and intriguing. I love Jerry and believe in Jerry. After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. But I love Boulder and everything there is about our team and the coaches, our student body in the community. What I hope is that Jerry Jones is not that old, not that fried, not that dumb to go for the glitz and glamour, the shiny object that is Deion Sanders. And I hope it was just a ploy to get on ESPN during the coverage tonight and change the narrative from him and Mike McCarthy, because there are stories out there that they didn't talk about contract negotiations. There are stories that they did, whatever. 888-808-1019. As the coaching carousel spins now, and as we try to figure out who is who and what is what, here's something that impacts the New York Football Giants. Obviously, they kept their same GM. They kept their same head coach. But man, I mean, one, I think that's a bad decision. Two, I saw that Mike Vrabel is looking to bring in, or they might already have done it, the Giants are allowing their executive advisor to the GM, Ryan Cowden, out of his current deal, and he's expected to join the Patriots front office. Now, somebody else who was rumored to leave the Giants and potentially reunite with Vrabel is Shane Bowden. Word on the street is Vrabel's not interested in reuniting with him. Probably wants to do a little bit better. And, you know, speaking of the Patriots, they have Bill Belichick on the Manning cast. I hope they ask Bill Belichick about Jerod Mayo. And I hope they ask him about Mike Vrabel and what's going on there with Robert Kraft. That's your man's. That's your stomping grounds. You're the greatest coach of all time. What's going on up there? They literally fired Jerod Mayo hours after the game. And within a week, They hit the Rooney Rule. They interviewed who they had to interview. And you know what? I remember telling you, Jets fans, it was way too fast of an interview with Vrabel in Florham Park. I said he looked like the meme from The Simpsons, or the gif from The Simpsons, where the grandpa comes in the bar, hangs his hat up, takes his hat off, walks right back out. High and by. That day that it was reported that Vrabel came to interview with the Jets, it was like 2-3 hours later that the interview was concluded. And people were like, how'd you let him leave the building? How do you let him leave the building? He was never signing with the Jets. If anything, he was using that as a ploy. He was using that to get the attention of the Patriots. And man, I saw something crazy. Let me see if I can find it in my notes. The guy that posts tweets from SpotTrack, he's got all the info one could possibly need. Let me see if I can find this now about Vrabel. He posted on Twitter, Mike Vrabel, the linebacker, earned $17 million in 8 seasons with the Patriots from 2001 to 2008. Mike Vrabel, the head coach, might have just secured around $17 million per year to coach the Patriots in 2025. Mike Vrabel is about to make more money in a year coaching the Patriots than he did in his entire tenure as a Patriot player. 888-808-1019. That's great. And as you remember, you know, this guy caught passes. I saw another stat out there. Every pass that he caught went for a touchdown. He caught 10 of them things. And, you know, he's a player's coach. He's a guy that tries to mix it up. He'll get into drills with you. Go look for Taylor Lewan's video. Taylor Lewan put out a great video about what to expect from Mike Vrabel, man. The Patriots go from Bill Belichick to another coach, and I guarantee, another great coach, and I guarantee you he's super motivated to do a good job. And, you know, the Jets supposedly doubled back, and they said, is there anything we can do to convince you to take the job? And Vrabel's like, hell no, I'm a Patriot, and you guys are a laughingstock, and I'm not going to work for Woody. I'm going to go work for Robert Kraft for a few years till, I don't know. Anyway, you know what another thought I had too? Sean McVay. When we're talking about looking for a head coach, Sean McVay has been to 2 Super Bowls, won one, and he always makes something out of nothing. He's got his quarterback in Stafford. They find ways to draft guys. They draft Puka Nacua, right? Obviously, they get a first-round pick, and they get Jared Verse, but they also draft Braden Fisk. They just find a way. Kyren Williams, they find a way to stay relevant. The Rams, again, you know, they win tonight, and they're in the second round of the playoffs. Sean McVay is young. He thought about tapping out. No. Why? You're in L.A. coaching the Rams. They always find a way, man. Shout out to them. It's great to find a coach like that that can get you a Super Bowl, win you a Super Bowl. And how old is McVay now? 41? Bro, he's 38. Marco is in Queens. Marco, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what's going on, buddy?
Talking the talk, man. What you got for us?
Chilling, man. So, Keith, I just want to say it's an honor to speak to you. I think that what you do is fantastic. I'm 49. I'm listening to the Fan since 89-90. It's about ninth grade. Mike and the Mad Dog were the originals for me. Today, right now, I think that as far as your programming, I want to rank you, BT Sal Licata, and Boomer and Geo. You guys are 1, 2, and 3 on my list.
Thank you. Okay? I appreciate it. Yes.
You're welcome, sir. I called on the Rams tonight, but I really want to make a point about the Jets. But before I do that, listen, the Rams are a good team.
Yeah.
I should have bet heavy on the Rams tonight.
I don't know what I was thinking. Knowing that McVay, like that Kevin O'Connell coached under McVay, it's the pupil versus, it's just not, you're not, he wasn't beating them.
Right. Like, listen, Darnold's fine. He overachieved. They had a great season. I'll give it to him. He deserves his roses. I get it. But he was going to turn into a pumpkin, right? Like, I knew that was going
to
happen.
And that Brian Flores defense. You know what? I should have known. They burned me back-to-back weeks. They put a lot on film against the Lions that the Rams were able to watch and say, oh, yeah, we got him.
Right. And let's not forget how, you know, Bradford's a professional. This guy, he didn't just start this guy already won a title. This guy's been around for years.
He
knows
man.
How to throw the right.
I have a couple of degrees of separation from him. A friend of mine in L.A. parties with him, his wife. He's the same year as me in high school. When I was in high school coming up, we were featured in a magazine together. Top 200 players, but he was the big spread. My name was like really small. I think I might have been like 199. So I was aware of him coming up. And then I played in the short area with Knowshon Moreno, who went to Georgia and played with Stafford. Those two as a tandem at running back, quarterback. Knowshon invited me down there. I never could put the funds together to, you know, go down there and party with him. But that kid was a legend between the hedges in Georgia, a legend in Detroit. And, I mean, he's a grown man. He's a legend now with the Los Angeles Rams, and he's still doing it. He's just a full-on quarterback. He can read defenses. He can sling the ball. He doesn't have to be a runner, man. He is a pocket passer. He's still a good quarterback.
Agreed. Well said. I'm a Bradford fan. The guy can play point.
You're case. Thinking of Sam Bradford, former Ram quarterback. Yeah. Matthew Stafford is who we're talking about. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. My apologies. But regarding the Jets, right? Like, I'm a Jets fan, right? I'm a New York guy. I'm here my whole life, right? Listen, this team's struggling. We obviously know ownership is a mess. You know, I don't know where they go from here. But, you know, they got to take a page on somebody that's been doing it for a while. And I'm not cheering for Mike McCarthy. I don't know what he's got left. Is his relationship with Rodgers even good? Like, is that even...
He made an appearance in the Netflix doc, so I guess they're on okay terms if he was willing to speak in the Netflix doc in Enigma.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have Netflix.
But no, you don't want that. You shouldn't even want another year of Rodgers. You should be done with that. It's time to hit refresh. It's time to move on.
But where do you go, Keith? Like, all right, next man up. Who is it? It ain't Tyrod.
Yeah, it's not right? Tyrod. It doesn't seem great, but maybe. I don't know. I can't tell you who it is, but like that's the next GM's job to find the next quarterback. But I just think Rodgers brings so much negative attention for what he is on the field. I think he's going to struggle again. He came on late this year. I think he's just too much of a headache and a distraction for trying to turn the page and start anew. Here's something I had in my notes that I think is interesting, right? Shout out to Harrison Glazer, who covers the Jets. Rich Cimini said he sees Ryan Grigson and Brian Flores as the next GM and head coach, them as a combo, as a tandem. And they've both been interviewed. So maybe.
What do you think about this Brian Flores lawsuit, though? Like, how does that, you know, play into the hiring component?
I don't think it's going to matter. He's still been employed in the NFL as an assistant coach, as a coordinator. He was with the Steelers last year, which I think is going to help him. He learned under Tomlin. He learned under that culture. And now he just learned under Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings culture. I don't think the lawsuit is going to really matter. Those things will get handled in court. And I think the NFL wants him to get back to being a head coach, because then in a way it kind of erases some of the negativity and the stuff that he was even suing about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a very good
point. Colin Kaepernick was able to ever come back and get a starting quarterback job, never happened. But the NFL did try. They had a whole combine for him. They did try. Nobody would sign him. I think the NFL would welcome him getting a head coaching opportunity, because then it'll say, see, you know, it's fair.
Good point. Lastly, and I'll hang up. You know, Deion is great. Listen, I love this guy, but like, he's trying to, you know, parlay himself a job out of this deal with his kid. And I have problems with this, because Shador's already not going to the Raiders. Right, we know that already.
Most likely, he's not going to be on the board.
And you think the Giants want to deal with Deion? Let's keep it real. They're not going to want to deal with Deion. You know that.
Well, I don't know if the Giants are able to draft Shador. They won't have to deal with Deion. But there's so many people that think that, you know, he'd be on the sidelines. He's not going to be on the sidelines, or he'd like really like. I think he'll stay out of the way. He's got enough to do in Colorado. But this Dallas Cowboys thing is interesting, because I think Jerry Jones is desperate enough and dumb enough to actually do it. And there's people talking about, oh, they're going to trade the pick to try to draft Shador. And I'm like, I please, enough. It's nonsense. No. But I think there is a scenario where Deion doesn't want Shador to go to the Browns, and the Browns take Travis Hunter, and then the Giants get Shador Sanders, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think he's a star. I think he's going to come here and work hard. I think Deion will do everything in his power to stay out of the way and just be more behind the scenes, and I think they already have a relationship established with Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, and Joe Shane. I've seen them down at Boulder, Colorado, at least three times on social media. There might be a way that Deion, kind of nudges the Browns to say, hey, I don't want my son going to Ohio. Don't draft him. But Travis Hunter, that's a different story. They take him at number two, and then Shador Sanders falls into the lap of the Giants, who they absolutely would have to take because Tommy DeVito is not a real quarterback on your roster. And other than that, you're not running it back with Drew Lock. Daniel Jones is gone, and you've been waiting to draft a quarterback. They can't pass on Shador Sanders. I don't care what anybody says about his not being a first-round grade. That's nonsense. This kid is talented. He's already famous. He's always been rich. He's a star, and I think he's better than any quarterbacks that they had in the building this year, and I think him and Neighbors would hit it off, and you would immediately see the connection with him and Neighbors. And, yeah, he's a rookie. He's going to have some bumps in the road, but like, look at Jaden Daniels, man. They got that kid and they plugged him in.
That kid,
It can work. It can work right away if you surround him with talent and coaching and you do the right things.
All right, Keith, I'll let you go. Good stuff. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. You're awesome at your job. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Marco. 888-808-1019. As long as you're ranking me above BT and Sal and Boomer and Geo, I'm a solo host, a young guy. I'm in year four. Nobody does any type of like pre-show with me, pre-show planning. I put my own notes together. I do my own research and I come in. I try to make people laugh. I try to make people think. I try to make people, be educated and pass the time and entertain people that are at work, people that are in their cars. And then even if I'm, talking about one thing, I might talk about Roki Sasaki or Dom Smith, or I might even talk about, Ben Simmons, who as soon as he's off the team, I'll put my net stuff back on. Jim is in Manhattan. Before we go to break, Jim, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
Good.
When Isaiah Thomas ran the Knicks, you had guys like Eddie Curry and Jerome James getting big contracts, getting paid big to fake injuries, a joke franchise. Now the Nets have a gullible foreign owner. He's getting ripped off, paying hundreds of millions over the years to Durant, Irving, and Ben Simmons to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that's a good way to spend his money. Now, smart Brooklyn guys like Spike Lee, Woody Allen, and Steve Sharippa, they go to Knicks games.
Yeah.
What does anybody pay to go to a Nets game?
Some people are locked in with those season tickets. Some people got fooled when Kevin Durant signed that extension and thought he would still be here. They sell out the place. There are people that still go. They live closer to Brooklyn. It's a cheaper ticket than Madison Square Garden, but it is not the top ticket in town.
I mean, it's a terribly run franchise. Just before they had the fiasco with Durant and Irving.
Yeah. And it's just like a never-ending cycle. It just keeps coming back around.
Yeah, and they gave away all those first-round picks and helped the Celtics build their championship.
Sure.
For a bunch of Over Hill guys who couldn't play them. And
they also helped the Cavaliers build this current team. They have their picks now. So as a Nets fan, we just got to wait and kick the can down the road and hope the team is good. And 6 years from now, thanks for the call, Jim. 888-808-1019. 1 hour to go. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. I'll be right back.